Well, you guys are in luck because we've roped in two more unsuspecting guests so that you don't have to listen to Dan and I quite as much. This is the first time we will be recording with four microphones. So we're really breaking new ground. Probably the most advanced podcast in the world.
Yes. And new cords.
Which
means we're kind of a big deal.
We took $18 of your team fees and put them to good use. So we have two bona fide Maybird legends here, basically original Maybird members, right?
These guys actually have the original Maybird kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. from way back in
which West I DC. Plan on our 10th anniversary. I want to reintroduce that kit. That'll be that year's kit.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd actually be cool. Wouldn't that be cool? With like the Microsoft Word font that we used for Maybird.
Yeah, we'll try to recreate that. So.
That'll be cool. But we have Tate and Elijah Larkin. These guys are, I think everybody who listens to this knows them, but if anyone doesn't, they're freaks. They're part of the Freaky Larkin clan. And we've got them on today to kind of talk about their most recent crazy outing. But I'm glad that you guys are here because you guys have insight on all the stuff we'll be talking about. Really quick, for the very few people who listen to this who don't know you, who are you guys?
I'm Tate. I was a Maybird writer for a long time. I started like writing Devo in like 7th grade. So I was on Skyline and Maybird all throughout my senior year. I was a big racer and stuff like that. And I guess I've transitioned sort of now, exercise-wise, into more running-wise stuff. So yeah, that's me.
That's okay. We still love you, and we'll bring you back.
I know, it's controversial.
Yeah, that's okay.
What's up? I'm Elijah. I used to ride Maybird, and I still do. And then I raced Nika. I started riding in probably sophomore year of high school. And then I kind of stopped riding as much after high school into college, but I'm kind of getting back into it. And then I've started more ultra running now. So,
and you casually drop in as if it's not the most amazing thing I've ever heard of. We're going to talk all about you guys' most recent trip in just a sec, but we did have point to point this week, which we were very well represented at. I saw so many Maybird kids out there. It was super cool.
Yeah, there were like a lot of Maybird kids that were actually out there racing and a bunch that were just out like kind of riding around and being there is part of it. We just saw a whole bunch of Maybird kits that day. Just super, super, super cool day.
Yeah.
We had on the junior podium, we had like Xander came in first place and Ben Bigwood came in second. We had Riker in like fifth. So we had three of the podium spots were all
locked in.
Maybird riders.
Pretty awesome.
Which was super awesome.
And I have to say, like, Xander in particular had a disgusting performance. Like, when I saw the number next to his name, I was a little upset. Xander, I'm jealous, but I mean, it only took him what, like 45 minutes to do the whole course, and I was out there for like three business days. So congrats to all those guys.
Yeah, the rate that they ride that just blows me away. I can't even.
It's upsetting.
Like,
it's
I couldn't do it on an e-bike.
No. Oh, absolutely not. No, you suck. But Dan and I did my first point. That was what, your like eighth point to point or something at this point? Third? Fourth?
I think I've done it officially four times and ridden the whole course six times.
Yeah.
So
this was my first. It actually didn't suck quite as bad as I thought it would, but I think it's because I pictured it being worse than it was. But I mean, we're recording on Wednesday and I still feel pretty messed up. So it was a big one. And because you did point to point, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Three, I think. I can't exactly remember.
Yeah, and you put in a pretty flying time too, right?
Not compared to some of these Maybird riders nowadays. But yeah, no, nothing crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It was brutal though.
But it was great. Tons of like parents out there and stuff too. I don't know. We can't go over everyone who did it because that'd just be way too many people. But it was super, super cool to see.
It was super. And Joe, you did well, as much as I hate to admit it.
Thanks, Dan. I beat you. That was my only goal. Not beating you would have been rough. But
well, I told everyone, I'm like, if Joe actually finishes, he'll beat me. But
thanks for that outstanding vote of confidence there. that if is doing some heavy lifting. But I just wanted to say, like, the people who put that race on do a really good job. Like, for as big as that course is, like, every road crossing I felt fine. The course was marked pretty well through most of it. I did get lost at one point. I think that cost me at least 10-ish minutes.
I made one wrong turn when you said hi to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just distracted by my good looks and charm. yeah, my wife made a wrong turn with me, too. But
that was a joke.
That was a joke. Yeah, I was that was it was better formed in my mind. And then I just kind of fell out of
I didn't get it.
She doesn't listen to this, so that's fine. But yeah, it was a good day.
You know, I had so much fun because the first part of it I rode with some friends, and then Amy rode the last section with me. I felt better than I've ever felt for the first two sections, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got really nauseous and bonked really hard and had a really big struggle on the last section. So, but it's just such a brutal ride, but it's so much fun, and like I'm already excited to do it again. So
yeah. Was there NICA this weekend we need to go over?
Yeah, there were a couple NICA races. Oh, there's going to be a NICA race like every weekend
now, yeah.
But one thing I did forget last time when we did shout-outs for the NICA race, there's one I neglected to mention that was kind of a big deal.
Uh-oh.
But she gets mentioned a lot because she's so awesome. But Emma Daly, like her time, it was like 5 minutes ahead of the rest of the group.
Whoa.
Like she...
Which category was this? Was this
JVA girls?
Ooh.
So she was just like,
baller,
she must have accidentally brought her e-bike or something. I don't know, but just an amazing girl. She's just the nicest person you'll ever meet. Extremely good at riding a bike. So shout out to her. Sorry.
Chapeau. Well done.
And then we had, you know, I just glanced at the results really quickly, just as we're kind of sitting here, and I just happened to notice that like, the India Jackson had a really good race, and so did Emma Shepherd, varsity girls out there in Ogden. So, yeah.
We can't list everybody. Tons of people did great. NICA, I was actually thinking that I'd probably rather do point-to-point than another NICA race because those were such outstandingly painful 90 minutes back in the day. I think I suffered harder in those than I have in any race before or since. But
yeah, we've got... some more coming up this weekend. I know our group's going out to Cedar City.
There's like six groups now. It's kind of hard to keep track of who's in, you know, what, you know, yeah. They like gerrymander the Valley to like try to make them competitive and then send them to eight different places. So we'll do our best to keep track, but
yeah, so
bravo to all of you guys too.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got a race coming up this weekend, just make sure you're fueling, you're sleeping, you're resting up enough. just make sure you're taking care of yourself. Like if you take care of yourself, racing just feels better. If you're kind of burning the candle at both ends and not nourishing yourself, and it's not as good. So take care of yourselves and
make good choices.
Yeah.
Anything else on your end? Cycling World News, just a couple of things.
Just that cross clinic.
Yes. We will have a cyclocross clinic, coming up on the 22nd at 5:30 with pro crosser Thomas Torres, one of my favorite people. Depending on how many people we have, I might split it and kind of do a beginner clinic. If 40 of you want to do it, that's great. I might take the more beginner ones and run one myself. Thomas, I really want him to be there to give some tips to our really competitive kids who are really interested in cross. So
yeah,
keep an eye on that. We'll see how many people are interested.
And it's on a Sunday. I know that doesn't work great for all the riders. It's the only day he could do it. So,
yep. But yeah, I will be there. I'll take a look at how many people sign up and let you know closer to time. Cycling World News. We did have Worlds that we should run over really quick.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Alan Hathaway, South African rider on Cannondale, took the men's title, which is well-deserved. He's been knocking on the door for a while. And then Puck Peters took the win in the women's with a pretty dominant performance up there in Val Nord. So high altitude, very tactical.
Didn't, like, Riley Amos win the U23?
Trying to remember now.
Research that real quick.
Yeah, I had notes, but then I was logged in. I was logged into my teacher account on the notes I made for that, and I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just, yeah, probably. Riley probably won, and if he didn't, it was weird. So there you go. That's my compliment.
And wasn't Braden Johnson, like, in the top 10 or something?
He was 11th, I want to say, which is super cool.
Yeah, I think it was Riley Amos was first, and Bjorn Riley was, like, second or third.
Was that in the short track? I think that might have been in the short track, though.
Okay, no. Yeah, I just look at Instagram pictures.
Get all my news from Instagram. I'm one of those educated people. But yeah, awesome there. And then I don't know if Welta, if people are interested. I think O'Connor's lead's down to like 5 seconds and Roglic is coming for him. So.
Oh, and didn't the USA win the relay or something?
Yes, we at the Worlds, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, we did win there. USA. I don't know. I only really care about like the big XCO cross-country races. There's like a million different Worlds races you can win. There was like the e-bike Worlds, which is hilarious to me. No hate for e-bikes, but definitely hate for e-bike racing. I think it's silly. Other than that, no.
Did I ever tell you a boast that I'd make a good e-biker?
that is the funniest backhanded compliment I've ever heard. E-bikes are great. I don't hate e-bikes, but trying to like shoehorn them into their own cross-country racing discipline is a weird choice. And you can also tell which racers have to do it, because like Specialized is like, hey, go plug her. Like they made that Chilean guy, what's his name, on Specialized, they made him go and race it, and you could tell he was like, I don't want to do this. Like, what are we doing here? This is dumb. Some guy with a visor on his helmet won some French dude that I'd never heard of won the world title there. So homie has a rainbow jersey now. I'm happy for him. But moving on to much more interesting stuff. You guys have been busy.
But wait, first.
Oh, no.
Because we're here to talk about their big, awesome Croatia trip. But there's actually something I find more interesting that I want to talk about first.
Okay.
Okay. Because... I don't know if you guys know it, and you can plug it, because I don't know. Elijah's got a YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I've watched, I think, most of the things on his YouTube channel, but one of them I just found super interesting, and for some reason I think about it all the time. So that's what I really want to kind of talk about first.
Okay.
Is the 10,000 calorie challenge.
Oh my, yeah.
What's the? I haven't heard of this.
I'm flattered that Dan watches channel.
What's your channel called, really quick?
I think it's just Elijah Larkin. So
everybody, smash that subscribe button. I've always wanted to say that on the podcast. That's one of those grotesque podcast things I've never had the chance to say. What's the 10,000 calorie challenge? So, that sounds like Thursday for me.
Yeah, it's you pretty much, the goal is to, some people do just 10,000 eating, so you just eat 10,000 calories.
Sweet.
I could do that.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that would be easy enough. Though what we did was 10,000 calories eating and then 10,000 calories burning it, trying to burn it, like the exercise. And so we did like a count, like your just basal metabolic rate into it.
So you're doing like 8,000 calories of
exercise. Yeah, that's how it would be.
Exercise, okay.
So we started out in the morning, I ate like a cake, and then went for a 150-mile bike ride. And then we got like Cafe Rio on the way. Ethan ate a bacon.
Yeah, this is with our brother-in-law, not me. I didn't do this. I wasn't stupid enough.
He ate a Baconator.
Yeah, and so he got like some stomach distress because after we ran a half marathon, and yeah, he had some pretty bad stomach distress. We finished that up, and I think we were only like 7,700 calories burned.
And oh my goodness!
We had a tap out about there.
But you ate all the calories?
Yeah, we ate. We pretty much evened it out, which was crazy because it's so easy to eat.
Doesn't sound that hard to me. Like, I feel like I could throw down 20 Krispy Kreme donuts and not, you know, like that can't be that hard. Is it like, what did you guys do to actually get the 10,000 calories? Was the cake most of that?
The cake was like 25 right there. Just right, big chunk in the morning. Cafe Rio is like 1,000.
Don't tell me that.
Okay. a bunch of granola bars, which are crazy, you know, like you could easily get calories there. And then at the end of the day, we had donuts. And did I eat donuts while I was running? Mm. I don't think so. Yeah, donuts and pizza. So we hit it pretty easy. It wasn't...
There was a rule with no drinking calories, right? Because yeah, otherwise no you could just calories. Make a milkshake or something like that.
Yeah, you could have got like Haagen-Dazs, put that in, and boom.
Yeah.
Like,
hit
4K. Actually eating 10,000.
I think I found a sport that I could actually be good at.
Right? I'm curious, what is the number of calories you think you'd have to... Like what number of calories would just not be feasible to eat in a day? Like, what's the threshold where you're like, that's too many, I can't eat that many?
It wasn't hard.
We should
at all.
Find out.
Because it sounds like 10,000 wasn't that challenging.
It wasn't bad. I think 15K would be getting a little pushing it.
So if I told you eat 20,000 calories in a day without drinking any, that's challenging.
Yeah, I could probably do it if I worked out enough. Maybe, but I don't know. It was hard. At a certain point, you definitely get nauseous.
How bad did you feel after this?
Not bad at all. I actually felt fine. Like, that sounds like a flex, but...
Your early 20s are an amazing thing.
I felt fine.
You know, it is amazing how hard it would be to burn 10,000 calories in a day. Because, like, I think doing point-to-point...
I burned... Like, I went to bed at like 6,500 calories for the day.
That includes your basal metabolic rate too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
that's crazy. Doing 10, that's messed up. You guys need help.
But
yeah.
Hashtag go to therapy challenge.
But you got about 8,000, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you literally have to run a 100-mile race to hit 10K. Like, probably.
How long were you up?
How much did you burn when you did the Wasatch 100?
Almost, it was like 10,
almost called it 50, which would have been an insult. But
I think it was 10,000 or 11,000, maybe. 10 to 12, probably, somewhere in there. I didn't have heart rate, though, so it's kind of just like based off Strava metrics.
Do you know what I might do? Because I've always wanted Everest.
Okay.
And I was thinking about doing it this winter.
Okay.
but I might do the 10,000 calorie challenge in Everest on the same day.
That's then you're kind of the way to do it.
Huh? You're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Huh. Okay. So, well, there you go. Yeah, I'd maybe at least do
so
half
go,
of that. But...
Yeah, if you guys want a good time, go watch his YouTube video on that.
Okay, I actually will.
I just found it like super, I just got really fixated on that. I think about it all the time, like how I would do it. And
are you getting a lot of hits? Are you getting any traction there?
I don't think I post consistently enough, but we will, I'm making one for Croatia. So, I mean, if you guys like the podcast, then.
Yeah.
Then you'll love that.
Everybody go. Let's see if we can triple Elijah's subscribers every day, okay?
I'll try to get it done before this gets posted, maybe.
Oh, this will get posted tonight.
Dan will send me these needy little texts every 15 minutes as soon as we finish recording until I post it. So
that's because I like to listen to it while I'm doing the dishes.
That's well, there you go. Croatia, though. Can we move on to Croatia? I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, let's talk about Croatia because this is a big deal.
So what were you doing? Because you guys don't vacation like most people, because I think most people go on vacation to get drunk on a beach. This was not that type of vacation, to my understanding.
Yeah, we always call our vacations like the Larkin boot camp because we're always doing something crazy, like some long distance thing. Anyways, we went to Croatia to do this trail, this through hiking trail called the Via Adriatica. So it's like in total 750 miles and it kind of goes from north to south of the entire country of Croatia. It starts from a town named Pula and then it goes to Dubrovnik. And so it's just like from coastal to inland, just traverses the entire way. And so we just got some backpacking gear. And
let me just clarify. You just said 750 miles.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we cut off the very start and the very end. Like the, it's sort of just boring coastal stuff. So yeah, I think at the end we were something like 600 miles total.
600 miles.
So
wow.
Yeah.
And how long was this? Like how many days did you spread this out over?
50.
Yeah. And we had to cut off like 30 or 40 miles in there too. Cause we had like to skip a forest fire.
Yeah, we can get into that.
They don't have like a Croatian version of
is this something there. That like a lot of people do? Like, how did you find out about it?
Not this one. So a lot of people do through hikes, like really long backpacking trips. This one was really obscure. I was just digging and found it in some really old Reddit post. So it was like not something very many people were doing. So yeah, I think like over the entire trip, probably said 15, 20 people on any of the trails. So like,
and there's only two people doing it,
right? And two people doing it like the trail at the same time. So very obscure, very remote trails. Yeah.
Hmm. So you might have got the FKT on it.
Definitely. Hey, there you go. Don't tell Keegan. Keegan will come and steal it from you. But,
yeah.
And so like we said, 50-ish days to get this done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about.
Wow. A little bit less, I guess. But
yeah, around there.
Were you hiking every single day, or did you take days off?
5 days off. Was it four days off?
Something like that.
Yeah.
4 or 5.
Yeah.
So, every 10th day or something like that, we'd take off roughly.
And what's the terrain like? I'd imagine lots of elevation. Is it like a well-defined trail or are you bushwhacking for a lot of it?
Yeah, we could get into that for a long time.
I saw your one video where you're climbing up over that steep ledge or something.
Terrain's crazy and it varies so much. With that much distance in like a European country, you go from like beaches to like really steep mountains to like rocks and just everything. And the trails were just terrible. Elijah,
they're just terrible. So bad in certain parts. Like, I mean, check out the YouTube. But.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. For a visual.
Plug, but, they were crazy. It was like coming back here and running on the trails here. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so nice not to bushwhack.
Mm-hmm. Bushwhacking is discouraging. Like anytime I've gone backpacking and like you're not on a pretty defined trail, suddenly just your morale kind of starts to fall off a cliff because like, am I going the right way? Am I doing all this work to go, you know, spend 3 hours going in the wrong direction? Yeah. Like, so it's a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of bushwhacking, and then there's like 100 miles in there too that potentially had mines. So like you're bushwhacking and getting.
Yes, we should point this out. Within my lifetime, this was like a really war torn, rough. Part of the world.
Yeah,
and the mine risk, that's so like tell me, I'm fascinated. Are there just areas where it's like, hey, if you go through here you're rolling the dice, or like,
that's kind of exactly right. They're called like mine suspected areas. So there's like sort of a strip of Croatia where there's just tons of minefields from like the Croatian independence war. And so like, yeah, like Elijah said, like 100 miles or something like that is like full of mine suspected areas. And so everyone's like, don't go this way, or like stay on trail because there might be mines. And of course the trails are so terrible that you don't know if you're on trail or not. So that was really scary. At some points we were just like, okay, I hope there's not a mine.
So did you have your phones out and have like Trail Forks Croatia loaded? And
is there like a box you can check, like show layer mines or something? Because like I've been in situations like you don't want to get off trail because you don't want to get lost, but I've never had the stakes of like don't get off trail or you might get blown up. Like that's a whole new level of
like we just have our, because there's no like trail to follow visually at all, and we know it's a mine suspected area, so you'd have your phone out with the whole route loaded on GPX and you'd be zoomed into yourself. And so you try to match like your marking on your phone up with the trail, because you can't see the trail like in real life. So you're like, okay, like I'm following this line, this GPX route, and I kind of hope that the people marked it correctly.
So when you guys play Two Truths and a Lie, it's probably more fun for you than the average person. I'm going to go out on a limb. I have never had, like, first date small talk is not a problem for you guys.
Not anymore.
Wow.
Oh, and there's a part on there too where the GPS route was bringing us down a peak, and then we got info from like a local that you weren't supposed to go down the peak because there's actually mines on the peak down, so we had to like take a different route around. So we potentially, like, the GPS route even brought us through some questionable areas.
Wow. Yeah. So kind of random question, did you guys ever get sick of each other on this journey?
No, actually, surprisingly, it's a question like I've gotten a few times, but never. I mean, obviously, like, someone leads you off trail for a second, you're, like, kind of annoyed, but I never, like,
no fist got super mad.
Or... No fist fights. We didn't talk a ton, which was kind of weird. Like, we had a lot of...
That's some sibling energy right there, hiking 700 miles through minefields, and you're like, how are you?
We go, like, 4 hours of our hike and just, like, not a word. Just kind of going, just plotting along.
Were you hiking the whole time, or did you run part of it, or...?
We wish we could run on some of it, just because it was, like, dirt roads. It'd be so much faster, but yeah, we also had to do some pretty big water hauls, so the packs are really heavy at some points, like a lot of water hauls, like with 6 liters, and one time we had to do 8 liters in the mountains, which is like 17.6 pounds.
Yeah.
Just on top of your base weight, it was brutal.
I think the unspoken, like, hard part of the trail that no one really asked about, but was like, if I had to just like it's the most, like the biggest part in my mind was the heat. Just something like, it was just insane, super hot and super humid. Just like every single day was just so hot. It's like one of the biggest parts of the trail for me.
Because you're never super high there. Like, you're not dealing with like crazy high elevation at any point, right?
No.
Like, you're generally going to be what, like 4,000 or 5,000 feet max, right?
Yeah, like tops of peaks, maybe like 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah, right, from sea level.
6 was the highest.
6, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's just humidity.
So humid. And still like 80, 90s. With like 50% humidity, 40-50.
Yeah. What were you guys doing for food?
Oh, we had some really, had like this, we had these pastas that they had like all the different stores, that we had like every dinner pretty much. And then for like snacks, what do we even have for snacks?
Like lunch usually was like some instant ramen. We had to restock our food at like usually really small convenience stores. Think like the inside of a gas station. So you're really limited for options. So usually like I'd say an average day, breakfast was kind of funny. We're just trying to get as many calories as we can. Cause you
probably
obviously
not 10,000, right?
Not, but we're trying to get as close as we can. No, not 10,000, but for breakfast we'd have like, at least I'd have like a big Snickers bar. They're called Super Snickers. It's like 3-in-1. And I dip that in like a jar of peanut butter just to get as many calories as I could. And then lunch was like a couple instant ramens and some trail mix. And the dinner was like a pasta packet and just whatever we had.
Yeah, a ton of trail mix.
Follow for more weight loss tips. Yes. Did you get, so what was your sense of Croatia? How would you describe Croatia? Because that's a part of the world that I don't think a lot of people go to. And people go to Europe, they're usually going to France and Italy.
Well, it's funny. I'll admit, at first when I heard they were going to Croatia, I didn't even realize that's part of Europe. I'm like, I had no idea.
Yeah, this is a part of the world that, like, I mean, I know that like Croatia and Slovenia are kind of coming more into the spotlight, and that people are going there. As
well, will
like,
now that
all, yeah, I was yeah. going to say now that your YouTube channel right
is going to go viral.
But like, how would you describe it? Like, what are the people like there? Were people like? I mean, did you run into a lot of people? I guess going through your minefields and stuff.
Do they speak English? Yeah. There's like 5 questions right
there
for you.
Go ahead.
I'd say like the terrain was super diverse because at first we were kind of going through it almost felt like a jungle, and then you get on top of ridge lines and it would feel quite different. And then you'd be hiking through, you know, like the inland areas that were just kind of like farmlands. And people were really nice most of the time. Like we hitchhiked. We can tell you one story about when we couldn't get a hitchhike, which was
We want to hear terrible stories. Yeah,
we have a lot on this one.
We're on a podcast. Now's the time.
Well, yeah, I'd say like as far as terrain goes, like you maybe think of it like a typical like Mediterranean place, so like a bunch of olive trees. You'd be walking through like olive plantations. Is that the right word? All the time.
I don't know.
And obviously just super hot. But yeah, just the terrain was super varied from like high mountains with like no trees to like dense kind of jungly forests.
How hot did you say the temperatures got?
95 one day.
95.
Yeah. What was the humidity?
The hardest part was trying to get enough electrolytes too.
Yeah, that's a big part was the electrolytes. We had some days where your heart starts fluttering and I like, you think it's because maybe my heart's not getting like, is it like magnesium or something like that, that sort of gets your heart to fire. So there was a few points just because of the heat where I was like, we need some.
We use the, some
sometimes lights. That's just dehydration too.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
We use like the World Health Organization recipe or just cause they didn't have like salt pills or anything like that. So we just table salt and sugar. And that was what we used for like a little bit of it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I feel like when you're tapping into the WHO cookbook, the situation's not, yeah, it's a little not amazing. Like,
true. We were like a little scared at some points cause we were losing like liters upon liters of sweat for sure.
The day that really like made me consider like the hydration and the electrolytes was this day. It was essentially a long day on asphalt roads, flat asphalt roads into this town called Kinnan. This was when it got up to 96 and I didn't check the humidity, but it was 96 degrees, probably like 40% humidity. And you're on an asphalt road with no cloud cover. And it was like, 23 miles. And so we're just like cooked and, your water heats up in your bottles. So I was like trying to pour it on myself, but it's like hot to the touch. That was the day I was like, okay, we need to start putting some stuff in our drinks, because this could actually get a little bit dangerous. Yeah. Along with carrying like 6 or 7 liters because you don't like, you hope that there's a well or something that you're going to get to, but the water was a little bit of a concern as well.
You are not selling me on this.
Yeah. I'm not trying to.
I wouldn't either.
Were you guys carrying like a UV pen? Were you filtering water or just kind of rolling the dice on what you found?
We had just had like Sawyer squeeze. It's just like a filter, a manual filter. Yeah, super. They're pretty clutch.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, that's sweet. Did you guys, so this is a part of the world where people aren't speaking English a ton, I assume. Did you guys have to did you guys pick up any Croatian or?
We, no, like, yeah, three words. We know the word for water, voda.
Okay.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Yes.
The people mostly spoke like broken English. Some like young people were really fluent. We met like an old farmer who didn't speak any English. And so, yeah, overall it was mostly just broken English, but easy enough to communicate, like, I need Boda.
I need Boda.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel safe the whole time?
Yes. The only times, I feel like the biggest
safe from people. Right?
Yeah, safe from
as
people.
As far as, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, there's not a light, like, you're not going to get, like, robbed from a warlord or something.
No,
From people, definitely. We're totally.
There were some pretty poisonous snakes, so, like, the locals supposed to beat the bush in front of us to scare them off, because there's some... like hornose viper, which is like you probably die like if you got bit, because you're just it's so rural. And then
it's like if you got bit by one of those, you'd want to go step on a mine.
Yeah, no. And there were the biggest thing that we didn't ever think about was there were like we had some couple scary times with dogs, like farm dogs.
Yeah. If anything, I was scared of the dogs out of anything in the trip. Oh, okay. That was probably one of the scarier parts. Was dogs. We had some really scary encounters. So, yeah.
And you guys, like, slept under the stars? Did you carry a tent or?
Tents.
Oh, yeah. I have a funny story about my tent, too.
Okay, tell us your story.
So, we were flying in, and we had to stay at Airbnb, and I left my tent poles at the Airbnb. That was, like, all the way south of the country. And then we finally got to up north where we were starting, and I was like, shoot, like, I forgot my tent. Like, I forgot my tent poles. So, I emailed the lady. She's like, yeah, I have your tent poles. And luckily there was a Decathlon, which is kind of like REI, but a bit cheaper.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, I went there, got a $30 tent. It was actually 30 euros. It weighed 6 pounds, I think.
Sweet.
And I had to carry that. Yeah. The whole trip. So my pack was an extra 4 pounds. Yeah. Than it should have been, which was terrible, but it held up.
Yeah.
At least.
Might have been more bomb proof, which...
Hey, there you go. Yeah, see? Yeah, I see what you did there.
That's see funny. What I did there? Yeah.
So, wow. So, So when you guys say like, would you say 20-ish miles a day?
No, not quite. I think our average, if you like, don't include 0 days, so we had five of them, was 15 miles a day.
Okay, and just sleeping in tents every night. Because you mentioned Airbnb just at the front end, right? Like, you guys are taking care of all of your own survival needs, or did you kind of say, like, every ninth or tenth day, we'll take an Airbnb and take a shower and stuff? And
yeah, that's about right. So every once in a while, you'd pass through a town, because you need to restock food. Usually there's wells kind of scattered throughout, and you have those marked on your GPX route, so you know there's going to be water maybe every 10 miles or so in a well. But as far as getting stocked up on food, yeah, maybe closer to like 5 or 6 or 7 days, mm-hmm. you'd stop into a town. Sometimes you have to try and hitchhike, and sometimes it doesn't go very well. We have a funny story about that.
Oh,
but
yeah, the hitchhiking story.
Yeah.
Is brutal.
Tell it.
So we got done with about, how long do you think the day was? 6 hours? It was
about, at least.
Yeah, it was at least maybe 6 hours. Probably 8 hours, and it was about a little over 20 miles. And we're planning to hitchhike into this little town called Sen. And everyone told us, all the locals were like, yeah, it's really easy to hitchhike. So we stood at the top of a pass, and we're just sticking our thumbs out trying to hitchhike for about 2 hours, and no one was picking us up. And yeah, at this point, I had run out of water probably 4 hours prior, because I drank it all because I was like, oh, we'll get a hitchhike fast.
Yeah.
There's no water at the top because Croatia pretty much has no springs or no rivers almost. So no one was hitchhiking us. There's no Uber and no Lyft. So we had to hike an extra 10 miles down into the town. So the total day was like about 30 miles, a little over 12 hours.
Yeah.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, easily. Yeah. It was so brutal.
Yeah. Was this the low point of your trip?
That was one of the low points.
I was actually feeling pretty good today. That day, it wasn't my low point, but I don't know what my low point was. We have one day that was crazy where it wasn't necessarily low, but I was like sort of scared. I can tell you that story if you want also. It was a low point for sure.
Well, I want to hear your scary story.
Yeah. Okay, I'll describe it. It was like the most eventful day of the trip. Somehow, like literally everything just happened in this one day. By the end of it, I was just like, I'm just done. Okay, so I'll tell it. So at the start of the day, basically the 2 days prior were also crazy stories in themselves. But I'll start with this day. So we start, we ended up summoning the highest peak in Croatia, which is called Dinara. Maybe 6,000 feet?
Yeah, just a little bit over.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, so something like that, which was really cool. Really great views. And so we start heading down. We end up getting into a really crazy lightning storm. And this was like really close, really loud. And at this point we actually ran under some rocks and sort of huddled under there. Because we were actually a little bit concerned I was a little bit concerned about getting struck.
Quite concerned. It was scary.
Yeah. So we were like huddled behind these rocks, like kind of just waiting it out. It ended up being okay. And so we're like, okay, we keep on heading down the mountain. And we get to some town where I think we restock water. We're walking out of this town, and just the craziest interaction happens. We're walking up this road, and some really old lady comes out and hands us like avocado pits or some sort of seed, and is like trying to give her money. So she hands us like this seed, no idea what to do with it, and she points at her like a euro coin in her hand, and then she says something in Croatian. We're like, do you want like a euro for like, what is this? And we're just like, sorry, we don't have money. So we left. No idea what that interaction was still.
That's like a Wolf of Wall Street moment, man. She is like selling you the pen. She's like, I have this avocado pit and you're going to give me money for it.
It almost worked.
I was wondering if it like would grow a beanstalk or something, you know?
Maybe we missed out, huh?
Yeah. Like you guys kind of, like, were you supposed to like plant that and climb to the top and then there's no mines up there or something? Or?
That would have been nice.
It's cooler.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if, do you think, I mean, you guys must've kind of stuck out, right? There's not a ton of, it's not like the Appalachian Trail, right? Like we have these two guys who are conspicuously not from here who are like hiking through our town. Like, did you get a lot of people asking you like, what are you doing? Or was it like, did the people kind of mind their own business or?
We actually don't look like all that different from people in Croatia, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, but
like
the
even with
thing,
the backpacks and stuff.
The backpacks, though,
town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were just walking around normally, I don't think like as much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like sometimes, yeah, people would speak Croatian to us and like expect us to know. But
interesting.
When we had the backpacks on, yeah, we definitely got some looks.
Huh.
But some people knew like what the Via Adriatica was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not like, because you said you ran into like one other group of people who were doing it or something like that?
We actually ran into no one. We ran into someone that was doing like a sister trail called the Via Dinara.
Huh.
That kind of runs on some of the same route. but we didn't see anyone that was doing the trail.
Interesting. Would you recommend it? Would you be like, oh, you have to go do it? Or is it kind of like, I've done it. I don't, there's probably other thru hikes you'd do if you had to recommend it to someone.
Yeah. I'd say if you had a, I'd recommend it only if you had like a pretty good base fitness, cause it could be pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Like with water. But also at the same time, it's, I mean, it was hard in a lot of different aspects. Yeah. I'd recommend a different time of the year to go too.
So there's two questions I really want to ask. And the first one is, why did you do this?
I think I sort of sparked it. I applied to the Wasatch 100 and I really wanted to get in, for this fall, but I didn't get accepted with the lottery. And so I was like, okay, I got to do something for the summer. Cause I didn't have like an internship or anything planned. So I was like, I want to do something cool. And so I just researched like, let's do something sort of like the Wasatch 100. And I just looked up some I guess I got into thru hiking somehow, was searching on Reddit. There's tons of thru hikes, really good ones in America. And somehow, like I said, I stumbled on that Reddit post about the Via Adriatica. And I was like, I should do it. And I was planning on doing it alone, which wouldn't have been smart. And then I invited Elijah. And so we're like, yeah, we should do this.
I feel like I invited myself.
Well, it'd be crazy to do it on your own, right? Like,
In hindsight, I was like, that would have been pretty dangerous. There, like I said, the one crazy day also had like I'll finish the story. So at the end of the day, we get hustled. Another lightning storm happens. We're walking up this thing, this driveway, and four like really big sheepdogs come out and just start barking and coming up at us and nipping at us. It was really hard to describe, but like the most scary experience of the entire trip. And so we're just kind of backing away, like having our hiking poles in a cross, trying to keep them away. Really terrifying. We backed away maybe like a quarter mile and they finally stopped. I was like, if they started biting us, got into like a fight or something, like we could have actually died there. So that was like the scariest point of the trip, all in that one day. And sort of recap the rest of the day. We kept on hiking past the dogs. We were really, really scared. And we started to hear mountain lion screams. I don't know if you've ever heard the sound. It's sort of like a barking. And so at our camp, and we're like, oh, shoot, like there's mountain lions. And this is like 18 miles in. So we're just so done at this point.
And we'd already set up, too.
We'd already set up camp. And we're like, you know what? Like, sure, there's mountain lions, but I don't think there's like that many attacks on humans. And so we end up just like, okay, we're just going to sleep through it.
When that is the calculus in your head.
Yeah.
You know that things aren't going great.
Yeah.
When you're telling me about landmines, almost kind of seem like a tertiary concern for you guys. Like the dogs are at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of lightning and mountain lions.
Like dehydration. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Okay. So we're like, okay, we'll just go to sleep anyways. And we're like asleep. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm so tired. I could go to sleep with anything. But I hear this very faint jingle of a cowbell. And mind you, we're not that far away from those dogs. We're maybe like 2 miles, a mile. So I'm like, okay, there's cows. And I know if there's cows, there's going to be some dogs guarding them. So I'm like, what if these cows come up and are grazing right when we're camping and we startle a dog? Then, like, we don't have the benefit of daylight to put out our hiking poles and kind of back away from them. Like, we could get assaulted in our sleep. And so we're like, okay, like, this is something I can't deal with. So we unpack our tents. We hike, like, 2 or 3 more miles in the dark at this point. So I think maybe at this point, like, 19, 20 miles. And then we set up camp. We're still hearing the mountain lions at this point, but I'm like, okay, we're past the dogs. And then we went to sleep. So that was the craziest day. And it like hiking those few miles in the dark when you know there's mountain lions screaming around you, it was like, okay, we could be getting stalked. So that's the day. That was really crazy.
This is a dumb and bad question, especially considering you and your family and the things that you do. Was this fun?
That was my second question.
I know that your definition of fun is different from most people. Was this, I don't know, how do I ask this? Was this a thing that you got joy out of? Or was this kind of a sadomasochism sort of thing? Or like, because I want to ask why, but I don't know.
I
like
just
asking
why.
Why is the sky blue? You know, like, what was this?
I asked why, and his answer was he found it in Reddit, so he
yeah, because there's a lot of things that are in Reddit that you don't actually have to do.
True.
So, like, are you having, because you're not having a good time in that moment, but looking back on it, mm-hmm. like, are you glad you did it, I assume?
Yeah, at the times, like, some days, like, that day was just so scary. Like, definitely did not enjoy it, and it scared me for, like, days after. But there were some incredible views, like top, like the coolest views I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like made it worth it in my mind. And then also just, I feel like the views were definitely, just the country was really cool.
Yeah, and it's satisfying to hike all day and just be tired at the end of the day and just know, like, you know, it's hard to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to hike for 8 hours straight today in the brutal heat, you know, with all these things. But at the end of the day, that's all you have to do is hike. So it's kind of nice like that.
Then it's a kind of zen place. Because I'm not as crazy as you guys, but like on those long rides and stuff, you do kind of get to that zen place where it's just you and your immediate needs. And there's none of the kind of like, how's work going?
Yeah.
Like, are my grades good enough? What's my relationship with this person like? That you're just, I mean, that's kind of, you just are totally selfish. You can only think about what you need immediately in that moment, right?
It's food, water, and hike.
Yeah.
That's all the current concerns we had, pretty much.
So why do you guys like to do hard things? Because I'm noticing a little pattern here. What is it that...
That's a good question, because it sucks in the moment. Like, a lot of times you're doing these hard things, like a long race, a long, like, point-to-point, and it sucks really bad in the moment.
Well, my point-to-point seems so weak right now.
I feel it's so ridiculous that we're, like, days after I did this, like, 9-hour-long mountain bike race, and I'm sitting here on a podcast that I run talking to somebody who did something that is infinitely worse. Like, I can't imagine. Like, point-to-point's nothing for you guys.
Nah, it'd still be hard.
No, like, it's still like, hard. Don't be modest. Like, so... I don't want to ask why. Why is just such an impossible question? Is it just like this is what you guys were raised doing and it's what you know? Is this like why does a duck know how to paddle through water kind of a thing?
I would say no, because actually when I was in high school and I first got out, I hated cross country and I hated running and I was so burnt out. And then I actually ran a marathon, like a few, I wanted it as a goal and I couldn't end it, the race didn't end up working out, so I just tried to run one. Don't know why. Because my sister told me she thought I couldn't do it. I actually got injured for like a year after. So don't go out. Make sure you do proper training.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think it's just like the cool to see like the progression of like what seems hard to you and then building up slowly. Because you know what I mean? Like an hour run doesn't seem as bad anymore. It's still long, but it's just cool to see how far you can take your mind.
Mm-hmm. That's similar to me too. I think like if I had to say my reason, it's because like YOLO. So it's like, I want to see, it's really cool to see, it's really cool to see like how far could I theoretically push my body. So like 100-mile race, I haven't done one yet, but it's like, what's the limit? It'd be cool to reach that level or like this, you know, 2-month hiking adventure, with just like these weird, cool experiences. It's like, when I'm 80 and looking back on my life, I'll be glad that I did it. And I already am. So it's stuff like that.
I'm going to poke the bear here really quick. We have two brothers. Who's fitter? Who was like the anchor on this trip and who was like driving the pace?
We were tied. It was
so
crazy.
In sync. Every time I was like, my calves hurt. Elijah's like, me too. Like, I'm thirsty. Me too. Let's take a break. Okay. I'm lightheaded. Like,
yeah. Tate's like, my heart hurts. And I was like, yeah, my heart hurts too. Yeah. Like, it's
interesting.
Every single time I said something, like, I knew Elijah was feeling it, which was really, really, really weird.
So that's cool. When you find a partner that you're well matched with,
yeah,
that's a rare like, and
almost
awesome.
Identical.
I was just going to say, genetics is a thing right there.
That's interesting.
Yes. There's no point, I don't think, where I was, like, leaving Elijah behind or he, me.
Yeah. We're so
yeah, it was really, really weird. I was, like, consciously thinking that a few points down the trail. I was like, your calves hurt too? I was like, what?
Our questions have been, like, all over the place, so I apologize, but... What about shoes? Did you wear the same pair of shoes the entire time?
So I had a pair that I just like that fit my feet well. It's like Brooks Cascadia, and they're pretty durable, so I probably could have worn them the whole time. Then I switched to like a pair of Topos when my mom came, which was mile 400 something. So like they lasted pretty long.
That's impressive.
And I like those shoes a lot. They have a rock plate too, which was nice. But I was getting plantar fasciitis because I actually had some minor plantar fasciitis before the trip even. Tate shoes though were a different story.
Yeah, I ran Hoka Speed Goats, which are super great, and they fit my feet pretty well. But I never get like shin splints or anything with them, so I was like, I'll take these. But they're sort of notorious for not lasting long. And so, yeah, so we were planning on having my mom restock us with a fresh pair of shoes, and I like barely made it. So mine were probably pretty cooked around like the 150, 200 mile mark. And we had like 200 miles to go. So like the cushions just completely flattened out. The tread was like, I'd say I had like 40, 50% of my tread left that I just like had fallen off. Yeah. So my shoes got destroyed and they also squished my toes, which was super weird. So I was getting some blisters at the start. and a few other foot problems. But yeah, once the restock happened, it was good. But after, like before that, it was like really terrible shoe quality.
And I was going to ask if you had any like related overuse injuries or feet problems or yeah. or any lingering effects
yeah.
of this.
Oh yeah, I my backpack strap actually tore. So I had to do about 150 miles with like it, I zip tied it. And so it was putting all the stress on one of my shoulders and my pack was already so heavy with the tent and all the water
pounds probably,
and
right?
food. Yeah. It was 35 to 40 pounds probably like some points. And so, yeah, I think I'm self-diagnosing, but I pinched like a nerve on my left shoulder, which I still feel it a little bit, but it's not actually all that bad, but it was really painful on the trip at some points.
Yeah. For me, really, the only thing was some blisters. So, like, the first maybe 3 weeks or something like that, I was getting pretty good blisters everywhere. I have some really gnarly pictures with just, like, calluses falling off and stuff like that. So, blisters mostly because, like I said, the Speed Goat squished my toes a little bit. I have pretty white feet. And so, yeah, like, blisters from your toes rubbing together. We had some Leuco tape, which we wrapped around my toes, which helped. And then the other issue was really weird. I'd never experienced it before. My pinky toe was sort of folding under my second toe. And I think that was because the toe box was squished and I think my feet were swelling a little bit, from hiking that long. And so it kind of felt like I was just stepping on my toes for like a few 15 mile days, which was really, really hard. But eventually it went away and sort of maybe the last 2/3, really my feet were like, I don't like maybe adapted. So no more blisters, no more of that. But the first part I struggled a little bit with my toe pinching, weirdly.
Yeah, was this something that like got easier as you went on, or were you just kind of wearing down slowly, or like, because I'd imagine like mentally the first few days of that have to be pretty rough, and then you kind of get into a rhythm more or less?
Yeah, I think it got easier until the very end when we were just kind of like, okay, I want to be done. Mm-hmm. And then, because there was like all the little random issues at the beginning, even just like I was having some severe butt chafage. Like, I mean, you have to expect that. The first day we did, I think, 22 miles, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have like 700 more miles of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, fitness wise, you probably adapt in the first 2 weeks or something like that, and you're sort of like maintaining. And towards the end, like, your body, at least maybe we weren't eating enough, but your body can't really keep it up. And so, notice like maybe a little bit more fatigue. And yeah, stuff like that.
So did you ever like pamper yourselves at all during this, like eat at fancier restaurants while you're out there?
I mean the food was terrible. The food was pretty bad, I'll admit. It's like you would think it would be pretty good because it's close to Italy, and the pizza was good, but a lot of it was really bland. And like they had a national dish, which is like cevapi, which it was just kind of like, it reminds me of Croatia because I've had it so many times. It's like kind of like really greasy sausages and french fries.
Oh yeah.
Which is like,
which is good.
It's good for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
that gets old pretty quick though.
Yeah.
So there's no Croatian restaurants around here, right?
Not that I would go to.
I don't think we can have that.
We always joke. It's where they get like the white people seasoning stereotype is because they like probably didn't even pepper their stuff. It was quite bland at some points.
So you don't go to Croatia for the food, is what you're saying?
No, definitely not the food. No. Unless you like pizza a lot.
Yeah.
And then that's great. It's great.
And then what did you miss most while you were out there?
Like a liquid IV or element?
Like AC, probably. The heat we don't talk about a lot, but that was the hardest part of the trip. And the thing I remember the most was the heat. So AC probably. Anytime I could get into a hotel, I would just turn it down the lowest it could go.
Yeah, sleeping at 45 degrees felt awesome.
Like a comfort or two, like a memory foam mattress topper was pretty crazy. Because we bought these maybe like half-inch foam mats, and that's kind
of
what we...
Actually, 1/8 of an inch.
Okay, 1/8. Either way, it's not a lot between you and the ground. So the mattress was really nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it back safe. And... Mm-hmm. Are you done doing crazy things, or do you have something else in the pipeline? Or
we hike into the moon, or join the Navy SEALs next? Like, what are we doing?
I don't know. Like I said, YOLO. So I don't have anything in the works. But if I find something, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this for someone who's listening, looking for a crazy thing?
I've sort of thought about this. I think I wouldn't recommend you do the whole thing, or at least at a different time of year. Like I said, the heat was just unbelievable, indescribable. So maybe do like a section of it. Do like Dinara Mountain or you know, the first part. You could split it up, but maybe not in July do the whole thing.
Cause... Or if you're me, like do Mount Olympus and go get Cafe Rio after. And...
Yeah, 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 it sounds this, pleasant, yeah.
This has been fascinating and super demoralizing when I think about the things that I consider like noteworthy in my life that I'm doing. Yeah, because like I said, we'll be like, oh, dude, I've been big old hike today. I was out there for 4 hours. And you guys are like, yeah, you know, the landmines. But it's really the snakes and the dogs, man. And that was around mile 80 for the day. So, you know, but it's okay because we had some Twizzlers we were eating. Like, I don't, I know that this is crazy and people probably tell you it's crazy, but that's crazy. That's, I mean, good for you, but maybe get help.
That's a
lot. Like, would you think, are you glad that you did this, or do you wish that you were in the universe where you got an entry to the Wasatch 100 and just did that?
No, I'm so glad. It was something I won't forget, even if it was something I wouldn't do again or that was really hard. I'm glad I did it. YOLO. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's like a once in a lifetime type of thing.
And no one else does it. No one else would have that experience. It's really
unique. I was going to say, you're not running any projects. Oh, I did that. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. That was lovely. We went in November, of course.
Yeah.
You
know, like, we just beat your KOM.
Yeah. Did you Strava any of this?
Yeah, I Strava'd actually the whole thing. We got a few KOMs, actually. So
I feel bad. I never checked your Strava other than my Strava stuff. So I should have known that. I'm sure people saw this, but interesting. Yeah, I gotta go check this out. YouTube channel, really quick. I do want to call it again.
When we can, we'll be sure and like post it on our social medias and Team Snap. And
yeah, whenever that comes up, let us know. We'll post it to all both of our followers.
I'm a subscriber, so I get an alert.
When I subscribe. Yeah, I'm subscribed to like two things on YouTube, so I'll be subscribed to like three now. But that's cool, you guys. Whenever you guys decide on your next thing, like let us know. This is cool. I definitely want to follow this, and I'm glad you guys are out there like flying the flag for doing other cool stuff. And I think you guys are both a great example too of like, you know, the core of Maybird is cross country mountain biking, but as long as you're doing something cool outside that like makes your life better, we're all for it. I think stuff like this is super duper cool.
And I think too, kind of like we watched that Hannah Otto movie. I don't know if you've seen Cocopelli Strong yet.
I listened to her podcast. I haven't watched the...
Yeah, me neither.
It's very good.
It's very...
That if you haven't seen that, everybody go
very,
watch
very good. We went, like a lot of the team went and saw that. And I just think it's cool for people to... Because like not everyone's going to win the race they sign up for because you can't control that. You know, you can only control yourself. You can't control the other people that may or may not have advantages you don't or whatever. But everyone can kind of come up with something that's challenging and work towards completing it and accomplishing it. You know?
Like you guys said, progress too, because there's probably someone listening to this where like do a 5 mile bike ride and then work your way up to a 10 mile bike ride and then do your first 50 and then maybe in a couple of years hit your first century, right? Like, you know, I think this has been a good reminder that like, I think sometimes like, oh, I'm a pretty good bike rider, outdoor person. But then I talk to people like you guys where anything that you guys do is not even remotely on my radar. So I think as long as you're progressing, you're moving in the right direction, you know, if you've never been on a bike ride or a run, do that and then do a little more. Yeah. And then, you know,
everyone can progress. Everyone can make goals and accomplish cool things.
And if you skip out on the therapy long enough, you can go join the Larkins and little vacations.
And I think the cool thing too, is it kind of transfers, like if you like doing endurance biking, you can start getting into endurance running, you know, slowly. And vice versa.
Yeah, it's not as much fun, but you can do it, you know.
Something. I you know, love the sin or hate the sin, right? Like I support your lifestyle choices when it comes to running, but you know, I don't know that. Like bike packing, that seems like more fun to me. To, like take the pressure off your knees and your joints and stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun to me. I'm like, I like going on a ride then going to Cafe Rio after.
I'm soft. I think the older I get, the more I realize that I am soft. I'd rather go do like a 45-minute cross race and hurt really bad for 45 minutes and then go eat some lunch and take a nap in my air-conditioned bed. So, but you guys have been great. Thank you so much for giving us the time. Everybody go check it out on Strava. Hit up Elijah's YouTube. Let's, you know, pump that follower count for him. We'll post that. Cocopelli Strong, too. Go watch that. If there's anything that anyone listening to this is doing that you want to tell us about, it doesn't have to be this big because I suspect you guys are the craziest people who fly under the Maybird flag. Let us know because this is cool. I really appreciate you guys coming here and giving us
you know, and if you're listening to this while you're driving to your Nika race, go crush it.
just remember there are people who have suffered more than you're going to.
No.
You don't have like be worse. You don't have like wild dogs and bombs chasing you.
I was gonna say, you know, like it's, you know,
at least you can see the trail.
Manaway gets hot, but their mind situation is better. You guys are great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming on. This was fun.
It'd be great. Everybody ride safe this week. Look out for landmines, and we will chat with you. We'll chat with you next week.